Good morning. I'd like to call the October 14, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr.
Brown? Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mrs. Hyde is not here, and Mr.
Stevens.
Here.
Is she not here because she has excused absence? Or anybody?
I have heard from her. She may have called, but I don't stop at the office in the morning on my way.
I haven't. What I probably should do is give everybody my cell number just in case. All members of city staff that are going to testify, would you please come forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide, that you're the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
It was easy for you to say, Amy. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to read the minutes, review the minutes? Are there any changes, amendments, corrections?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's not here on the 12th? The one I was missing.
Yeah, that's the one you weren't here.
Oh, yeah.
So that one you don't read it. That's the one I was missing.
No.
September was when you were
there. Right.
Never mind.
Are there any other changes by means of the board? Chair would entertain a motion approving the minutes for our August 12, 2010.
So moved.
Meeting.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown and a second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions or comments by any member of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Sir, any member of the board who would like to disclose any ex parte communications? Okay. Are there any attorneys? Should we take this one first? Okay. Please come forward. Any members of council? Good morning.
Good morning. Dave Robinson in docket number 21. Mr. Erzbach's physical condition has declined since the last hearing, and it wasn't very good at that time. He's unable to make it here today.
John, what would you like to tell us? Update us on this one. John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Microphone.
Good morning, John Stinson. Oh, here we go. Okay. This property is currently in compliance.
Okay. As of what date?
As of 10/7. The city will be asking for a will find on this property, though.
Robinson.
Well, John, you're showing us these pictures. What makes it in compliance?
As you can notice, the dates on the pictures, after it scrolls through, they the last inspection, we had some issues about the interior and the exterior of the property. They have since cleaned up the outside and the inside. It now appears to look like a single family home. So all of the things that we told them to fix, they actually did. The only issue right now is had to issue a stop work order on them yesterday for a fence that they were putting up.
Did they tell you that they had a permit for the fence?
I did speak with Broda. I don't have his last name. Mr. Broda, and we did advise them that they needed permits for the fence.
Okay. And what's the purpose? Is that the fence there they're talking about, or is that the violation from before?
These are the old violations.
Those are the old violations.
Mm-hmm. This is what gave us the appearance of a
So the fence has
operation.
A purpose?
I'm sorry?
The fence appears to have a purpose, or are they just putting a fence up for aesthetic purposes?
Well, they had the silt on the fence. on the chain link fence, and that wasn't allowed, so they were going to change to a privacy fence. Okay. But they just haven't had permits for it yet, so made them take that down until they obtain the permits for the privacy fence. Like I said, these violations here have been corrected. They had locks on the bedroom doors that have since been removed. I'm just waiting for it to get to the newer pictures. That was on the inspection at 10/7.
Has you had any inspection this week?
I was actually there yesterday, okay, which is what generated stop work order for the fence. And that's what the property looks like today. All the stuff has been removed from the inside and the outside. Locks removed. That was from 3 days ago. And that was from yesterday. You see the wood privacy fence is actually leaned up against the chain link fence right now. And that's what spurred the stop work order. So as of right now, they are in compliance with the old violations, and we're asking for a will fine, and I've already made contact about the stop work order.
Mr. Robinson?
Was the fence as depicted in those photographs secured, or was it just leaning up against the old fence?
It wasn't anchored like a traditional fence, okay, but it was somewhat secured, not very much, more leaning than secured.
Okay.
I've already made contact, and they already said that they were going to take it down.
And have you been by there this morning?
I haven't been by there this morning.
Okay.
If I may, please correct me if I'm wrong, but at this point, it's not an issue.
It's correct.
It's a non-conforming use
correct
that we're here to discuss.
Okay. Well, I think we're in compliance.
Yes. And the city has indicated that the your respondent or your client is in compliance. What he's seeking now is a will fine for any recurring incidences.
Well, in light of the fact that last time at the conclusion of your determination, I asked for some specifics so that we could remain in compliance, and you're all very vague. You didn't know what I had to do or what I didn't have to do, and we've brought the place into compliance. So unless you can give me some more guidance on how to remain in compliance, can't do any better than we've done at this point.
Again, Mr. Robinson, the city's indicated that your client is in compliance, and the inspector, I'm pretty sure, will be happy to share with you those things that will make him to remain in compliance.
Well, apparently last time, Mr. Bourne said, well, this, in conclusion, and prior to his making the motion, said, well, this looks like a party house. I wouldn't want a party house next to mine. Mr. Erbach referred to the clubhouse a couple of times in his response to his answers. So he made the motion. It was seconded and unanimously approved. Now, I don't know that party house is within the definition, but we just have to have, as long as the physical property remains like this, is there going to be a restriction on how many guests he can have or how many times a year he can have a barbecue or something like that?
Hey, Mr. Robinson, this board can't give you that advice. Mr. Stenson can. You're in compliance. As far
okay
as the board is concerned, you're fine.
Well, then,
it's just that the only issue in front of us is whether or not we want to issue a will fine or not. That's the only issue right now.
Well, I would ask that you not fine one.
No, no. What that means basically is that if it happens again, it's a repeat violation. They can go back to
what
the
happens next again?
Then you start partying again. I guess
the non-conforming use.
Yeah.
If the non-conforming use occurs again on the property, we as a board and the city has the opportunity to ask for a will fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. Not to say that it would be $5,000. We have the opportunity to impose a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence for the non-conforming use. The fence and all those things are not being discussed at this point because there's not an actual
right
violation, or that we don't have any information that would indicate there's a violation at this point. So we're dealing currently only with the non-conforming use that occurred previously. And Mr. Stinson is indicated that your client is in compliance, the property is in compliance, so he's asking now for us to consider imposing the will fine.
So that if it occurs again, if you were to have a barbecue there with a lot of noise.
No, again, it's non-conforming use, and he would be, or Mr. Jackson would probably
it would
be in
a
better situation.
Okay, well, as long as we get a hearing. And
The only difference is we would be if we would be a hearing, and we'd be able to go back to the time that occurs, as opposed to giving you time to cure and coming back 30 days later. That's the difference. You still would have a hearing on whether you were in compliance or not.
John, do you have anything in addition to what you've stated?
No, the city is just, we would definitely like to have that will find in place.
Okay. And would you please provide to Mr. Robinson and or the respondent information that would allow them to remain in compliance per his request?
Absolutely. After speaking with the property owner, at any time that they want to change the configuration or have some kind of event, I think that the smartest thing to do would be to contact us first.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson, do you have any comments?
That's all I'm asking for.
Is the motion required for a will find?
Yes. Let's hear from Tony first.
No, I don't have any comments. That's not true. I only have one comment. The nature of the violation, and y'all probably already understand this, but the nature of violation is a violation that can occur in a brief period of time and then cease, and so a will find in those types of situations is normally appropriate. And so we would ask, I think it's appropriate for the inspector's request, and I would ask that you do issue the will find in this situation.
Yes, Mr. Bourne's a motion is required.
I'd like to move for the imposition of a will find for future violations. By this respondent.
Do we need to set an amount?
No. It'll be if we have the opportunity or we just require that we impose a fine, we'll do it at that time, up next hearing, if there is an opportunity to do that.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne and a second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Robinson. Appreciate it. Okay. Amy, I don't think I read the case number until the record. Case number 21 was CEB 0910176 Martin Ebersbach, 605 Tanglewood Street. The board has imposed, well, not imposed, but has voted to consider a will fine for any additional infractions that may occur or violations that may occur. For
Mr. Chairman, is your mic on? I can barely hear.
Yes. Okay. It is. How's that?
Okay.
Case number one is CEB 031051, Gahanan Incorporated. The property is located at 1400 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
We're here just for a progress report. Steve, what would you like to tell us?
Mr.
Mike Patel. Mr. Robinson,
do you have any testimony about the private? Is it true the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Make sure you speak with the microphone.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Speaker, members of the board. We're here for a progress report on 1400 North Atlantic, the seawall that's fallen down. They have made excellent progress. The north side wall is near completion. The south side wall is still a concern, but we're nearly at the end of the turtle season. And for the record, I've been monitoring this crack since we started this. It's probably tripled. But that means it's only about a half an inch. We haven't had our mass rains, so we've been very lucky, and hopefully we will make it to the end of the season. And this should be the last time we see Mike. I'm sure he can get some more sleep after this is all taken care of.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Do you have anything you'd like to say, Mr. Patel?
No, sir. We don't have anything to say.
Okay.
I would like to add, the GC has been working diligently on this, and as soon as the turtle season is over, they're going to be jumping right on the south wall within about 2 weeks of the first.
Okay, thanks.
Does any member of the board have any questions or comments? Mr. Patel or Mr. Alderman? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
All right,
case number two is CEB 041065, Brian D. Seaman. Is the respondent here? Morning, Mike.
Good morning. Tell them that there's a new buyer. This property has been sold in the meantime. I don't have the new buyer's information yet, but we'll ask for a $30 a day fine.
Mike, if it's been sold, if we have a new one, we have to get out of an opportunity. What's the status here, Mr.
I mean, I accept that perspective. My understanding in speaking with the inspector is that the new owner was made aware.
She actually was
here. I mean, not that there was an actual certified notice, but the new owner was made aware of this event.
The new owner did the law with the new owner to the appeal. We start fine.
Okay, that's fine. That's,
just yeah. Have to be 1 month. That's all.
Up to you guys, whatever you want to do. I think that when we're passing, as you know, they have a duty to make them aware, and then they have the opportunity to come in to go ahead and remedy.
Was here at the last meeting?
Yeah, the new owner was the manager of the property prior. Mm-hmm. So she's taken over. She lives next door.
Okay, so the new owner was here.
She was here, okay, and she did testify.
But at that time, the conveyance had not occurred. The sale transaction had not been completed.
I think we need to probably just give them the next meeting.
Yeah.
Then we can find them. I have a concern about finding today because we have a new one.
I would agree with that.
We don't have
that. Is that fair and appropriate? But
I don't have a report. It hasn't been done yet, so I've been looking in the computer.
I mean, apparently it hadn't been recorded.
Right. It takes a little bit of time, I think.
We got to make sure we get notice to the new owner to be here at the next meeting. And so we'll buy the Shaw County case. We need to be here.
Do you all remember if the new owner testified at all in the last case? Well,
yeah,
when she was here?
It was
the first meeting, I believe.
Long time ago.
Which was?
We gave her the whole summer to do this. And we are going to get down in the 50s, but not that cold, so.
I guess I would have a little more concern. I don't have any problem. I understand the concern of his position of Mr. Sino. I would have some concern by next month if they hadn't recorded the deed or anything else, the question of whether or not it's just a delay while they're trying to accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish with the property, whether that's transferred or resale or some other purpose. I don't know what that would be. Presumably under the statute, I believe that the owner that's currently in the code enforcement action had a duty to give that notice to both us and the other the buyer of this action, and then that would have put us on proper notice regarding the buyer, and that hasn't happened. And so
we know if there's been a transfer because an argument saying that because you don't change time, it has to be transferred time, it has to be recorded. Hasn't been recorded. There's been no transfer.
Right. We have no knowledge of it being recorded, and the inspector is indicating he's checked, and I don't know when the last time you've checked.
Yeah, I checked the about a week ago with the
clerk.
No, with the tax rolls.
Okay, so it may have happened if we don't know.
Right.
Yeah, there's more things we'd have to follow up and looking on that.
Tony, is it possible for us to do a find certain? Like, as you say, it's possible that there may be something that's going to be delayed.
Quite honestly, if we are going to delay, I'd be very interested if they show up to see what they intend on doing, if they are taking care of it, how close they are. Those things probably become much more relevant in the nature of how the fine itself. Is there some diligent effort to try and now come into compliance with the new owner? So if we're going to stretch in time to give them some opportunity, I'd like to give them an opportunity to tell us what they're doing.
Mike, did you suggest a $30 a day fine?
Yeah. I had, yes.
I moved it for the imposition of a $30 per day fine effective immediately. And certainly just give them a little bit of a spur to get this thing in compliance. And we can always review it if there's ample reason to. The current owner is in default, and I think there's no question that a fine is appropriate under this circumstance.
We don't know if there's a transfer.
Well, I don't know. No, so that was told.
We can't assume a transfer, so right now we're dealing with the old owner.
Okay.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Mm-hmm. Can I second?
Pass the gavel.
Second. I'll second.
A motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? I do have a comment, and it's I think
I'm still confused.
Go ahead.
The property has not transferred ownership that we know of.
I was given the information that she was buying it from the owners. Over the last 2 months, she's been telling me, and that they have been getting, different contractors in, and to put in the heaters was going to be around $15,000. So she's been doing multiple contractors to see what the best price was, and she went to Tico Gas, was the last one I've heard of.
Who's she?
This
new owner or the old owner?
The prospective new owner.
This prospective new owner and the old property manager.
Now, did they specifically say, we signed the papers? And
no, I have not. I asked her for the papers to send them to me. I haven't gotten them.
The old owner.
See, we don't know if she owns it, so right. How can she be responsible for something that she doesn't own at this point? Or maybe doesn't own
it's
at this point.
It's very unusual for somebody to do repairs on property that they haven't got the title to yet.
Well, she's acting property manager until she buys it. So if she's acting on behalf of the owners as a property manager,
then that's fine.
Then that's,
but she's
yes.
not the owner, so we are actually dealing with the original owner.
I think there was a warranty deed recorded September 23rd.
Okay,
so. Alba Fernandez.
Alba Fernandez, yep.
Okay, now we're back to
okay.
square one.
Well, that's great.
My concern was the fact that.
And she testified here.
You're right.
Okay.
She testified, the supposed new owner. And beyond that, there should have been some financial disclosure of the lien or the action that is being taken by this particular body prior to the new owner taking ownership. So, and the fact that she testified, along with the fact that there should have been some disclosure, leads me to believe that she should have been aware, according to law. Therefore, I think the imposition of the fine of this, in my opinion, is fair and just.
And who is the fine on this Ryan Seaman or on
the property?
Okay.
It follows the
property.
Do we have to add her to this?
Okay. So now would be the responsibility of the new owner. Would she, again, with the transfer of sale, there should have been some disclosure.
Right.
So she should have been aware, and along with that, she did come in and she testified. So I would tend to believe that she was fully aware of what was happening with this particular property.
Okay.
And there were some violations that existed. That's my opinion. Are there any other members of the board who would like to make any comments or have questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Motion carries.
Join her.
I'm opposed.
We have one. Yes.
Cap would be, it's a commercial six-unit building.
So a multi...
Multi-family, yeah.
Multi-family greater than there. So that would be about 15,000, I believe.
15,000.
Mr. Bowens, would you want to amend your motion to include the cap?
Include the cap on your motion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cap is at 10,000.
15.
Is it 20, Tony?
I don't know.
It's like a multifamily residential commercial less than $500,000 assessed 2010 value. It's 20.
Yes, it is 20. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think I would know.
What was your cap, Mr. Bowens?
It was 10,000.
10,000.
Effective immediately.
Okay. Mr. Brown, would you?
Second.
Okay. Do we need to vote again?
Yes.
Okay. The cap, the motion has been amended to impose a cap of $10,000, and that motion has been seconded. Amendment has been seconded as well. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
You're going to find me.
No opposition, Mr. Swart?
I oppose the fine, but if you're going to fine, I think you need a cap on it.
He did. We imposed a cap with the amendment, $10,000.
Yes.
Case number three is CEB 0810144, Mildred Flair Incorporated. The property is located at 612 East International Speedway Boulevard. Mr. Respondent here. What can you tell us about this, Mike? Case number three.
I thought that the attorney would be here for...
Would you like to push it back and give him or her the opportunity to show up?
I think he's actually waiting for an action so that he can continue on his court case.
Okay.
What do you think? This is that one.
This is Mr. McConnell.
Right.
This has been a long journey with Mr. McConnell, the attorney that represents Fleers. He's normally very involved as a, I think, personal representative, I believe it is. So it's surprising that he's not here. I feel better making some contact, I guess. Just because of the long history of our relationship with this. No, I hadn't had any contact with him regarding this.
Would you like to maybe delay it a little bit?
We can delay it and maybe...
I think he needed to find so that he can continue with the court case. That's
so you think they want to find him post? That's what your belief?
I think. Can we call him and maybe put this back to the end?
We can post. If you have a number, I don't have it.
All right. I'm going to see if I can contact him. And I really expected him to be here.
Okay. Yeah, if we can delay it, I think that would be good for this one.
Looks like we only have a few respondents or persons in the audience. Would the board mind if we just tug those persons out of here so we can expedite their cases?
No.
What would we like to
see, Mike? I mean, to see John?
What number is it? Number 19?
19. Case number 19 is CEB 1010184, 919 North Grandview, LLC.
Correct. Yeah. Good morning. Yeah, Rick Waters. And I manage the properties for the LLC. This is Joe
Hiller from Technicad Engineering.
Yeah. Could you speak into the mic for us?
My name is Joseph Hiller from Technicad Engineering.
Joseph Hill?
Hiller.
H-I-L-L?
H-I-L-L-E-R.
Hiller. Okay, yep. Thank you.
Sure.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And again, what was your last name, Rick?
Waters, W-A-T-T-E-R-S.
This is Steve's case.
Okay, this case began back in July. Since then, there have been numerous police reports and complaints from Captain Skipper. The house has had numerous code issues. We've been back and forth. I've been dealing with Mr. Waters for a while. And basically, we're dealing with a structure that's got a lot of structural issues. At this point, the reason I brought it before the board is because it's been going on a little bit too long and the continued cases of police action, as well as the tenant's deterioration to the structure. And I needed to get them to the board to begin the process of getting the engineering done because the house has serious issues. And so I know they're working hard to get caught up on it, but it's basically going to take a lot of money, and the engineer needed to explain to the board why it's taken so long, because there has not been a permit applied for as of yet.
Steve, I noticed on your description you said that there is open plumbing and illegal plumbing. Would you explain that?
There's some illegal plumbing on the north side of the wall that was run from the upper story down, and then there's a sewer cap, 4-inch sewer cap, that's missing.
Okay. Thanks.
Not as drastic as a leaking sewer system, but it's still part of the issue.
Okay. Mr. Waters, would you?
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to contribute?
First off, I think the complaint makes it sound a little worse than it is. We do have the south wall, which we'd started to basically the stucco is sliding off the south wall, and what we had done is we had actually, let me go back one step. We had some railing issues last year, and the building was signed off on late. I think it was. You might remember, Steve, later last year, and just was basically there were no issues at that point in time. So existing issues, aren't the main issue, I think, is the wall, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what we had started to actually take that stucco off because we intended to repair it, and which is when I think Steve came by and saw what we were doing with the wall and said we needed to get an engineering plan and a contractor to do it. So Joe put together the engineering plan, and if you have any questions specifically, he can answer those. But basically, we have that at this point. We just got that. And what I'm in the process of doing is looking for a contractor to do the work, basically. So that's where we are. And in terms of the complaints regarding tenants, at this point I'm just pretty much fed up too. I mean, obviously I don't want tenants there that are abusing the property any more than any neighbors do. I mean, even more so, obviously. What I'm going to do, there are only three tenants in, there's seven units, there's only three tenants currently there right now. I'm going to try and basically get rid of all the tenants there so we won't have these police issues. Really, it's honestly, it's not worth it, because it's costing us more to have tenants than it would not to have tenants. I mean, we're losing money right and left, but it doesn't make any sense given the damage that's caused and the issues and everything we try to do to get good tenants, who then turn out not to be good tenants. So, I can understand issues because it's obviously it's completely permitted for seven units and all that. But it's within a residential neighborhood. I think we're probably having more issues with complaints because of that, because of the juxtaposition of the property within a more residential neighborhood. So okay. I'm just going to, I think, just eliminate that problem by getting rid of tenants, basically. So, and as far as the wall, again, I'm in the process of getting a contractor to fix it. Okay. So I'm looking at probably, I mean, I'm hoping to have it done, I'm hoping a contractor can finish it within two or three months at this point.
Okay. Mr. Waters, would you agree that these conditions existed back on July the 15th of this year?
I think I would disagree with the wording that was used in terms of, there were things in here about, open electrical wiring and illegal plumbing. I mean, the building is the way it's been for years and years. It's a nice building. I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's a very nice building.
I just wanted to know whether these conditions existed back in July.
Do you agree that some or all of those conditions existed at the time?
In terms of the wall, yes, absolutely. In terms of the other conditions, nothing changed since we were signed off on since late last year.
I'd like to move that the respondent be found to be in non-compliance.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Second.
And second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same
time. I'd also like to move that the respondent be granted a period of 90 days within which to bring this property into compliance or to return to the board for the imposition of the fine.
Motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Is it a cutoff date certain for that?
Yep. That be in January, Mr. Bourne's? January 5th? January 5th.
January 5th.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments by any members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
Who was the second?
Mr. Brown. Okay, what we've done, Mr. Waters, is we've allowed you until January 5th, 2011 to bring the property into compliance.
Okay.
If it's not brought into compliance at that time, you'll have to come back before the board, and we'll at that time entertain the imposition of a fine.
All right.
If you run into any problems, please speak to Mr. Alderman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Since you brought up tenants, what did the tenants have to do with the plumbing condition of the wall falling down, rotted doors, or the peeling paint?
They have nothing to do with the wall. Like I said, we were in the process of fixing that ourselves. What it does have to do with is, given the policy, I guess, of the city at this point, to send code enforcement to properties that have police calls, that creates additional scrutiny on certain properties versus other properties. So, which is arguably, there's a disparity there between the focus of code enforcement on certain properties versus others, which I can see from the standpoint of the city, that may be a fair way to approach it. You know, in the time that we've owned this property, I mean, we put at least $100,000 into improving it, and you know it was not in great shape when we got it. We've improved the interiors, the exteriors, and we've done our best to get good solid tenants in the buildings. I mean, it's very, very difficult to find good tenants, and that's with the interiors having been fixed up and turned into something that I wouldn't mind living in. So that's why I bring it up, because of the increased focus by code enforcement, because of whereas we might not have had that focus otherwise. It seems like if there are police calls, then regardless of what the origin is, whether it's whatever it is, that's what I think brings all this about. I don't think we'd probably be here if it wasn't for that. So hopefully that answers your question.
I have a question also, Mr. Waters.
Sure.
You all have an occupational license?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Steve, I'm done, Mr. Waters. Thank you.
Sure, no problem.
Steve, I'm noticing your description again. It says when it's not operational and then semicolon holes in. What are the holes in?
Hold on a second.
Probably the holes in the
south wall.
Okay.
And to correlate the police department referrals, in particular places like this, I mean, Mr. Waters doesn't have control over his tenants. And I have been there independently doing inspections. And I'll drive up the driveway, and the front door to the back apartment will be blown out, or the windows. And then I'll get a hold of the guy that's there, and then I'll come back again. And these are different inspection dates. And I go around to the other side. The whole door is practically off the hinges because of tenant issues. Houses that have, it's the broken window theory. If you see a broken window, there's usually many more issues. And when I go to this one, it's been there. And I know they've been working diligently, but the tenants haven't been helpful at all, and there's a lot to do. So that's why we are here, and hopefully they can salvage this structure, because I know it is a historical structure. It's a beautiful structure, potentially.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stevenson,
Just for clarification on the description, I know you're referencing the description that's on the agenda, and for whatever reason, a portion of that description was truncated, and in the notice of violation itself, it extends in this.
Okay, good.
With addition of violations, and in fact, those that you were observing about it, governance and so forth.
Right, I see it. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Borns.
Thanks.
Case number 10 is CEB 0910174 ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC. Property is located at 215 Kingston Avenue.
My name is Darren Jafferty. Yes, I do. J-A-F-R-O-O-D-I.
John?
I'm going to let the zoning official address this, the occupational license issue on this, because it's a little bit deeper than code enforcement.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Jafferty and I have been speaking on the phone, and there were some extenuating circumstances regarding zoning on the property when he was cited for...
Thanks.
When he was cited for... Sorry about that. No occupational license. So I believe Mr. Jafferty is willing to work with staff to achieve compliance relative to zoning, and so if we can delay the occupational license thing, I don't want to speak for you.
Hold on, Colleen, just for the record, would you state your name and position?
That would be Colleen Miles, zoning officer. Sorry.
Does she need to be sworn?
I
didn't see you over there, Colleen. Mr. Jafferty?
That would be excellent, because I was going to ask him for a motion for a continuance. I did retain Peter Huebner to represent me in this matter. I believe he did contact the assistant city attorney's office. See if we could work something out.
He was possibly in contact City Hall.
I guess with the holiday and so forth, and then he had a conflict that he could not appear today. But our intent is, you know, to try to amicably work it out.
What's your position, Tony?
Are we trying to amicably reach the zoning compliance?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yes, I have no knowledge of the attorney contact, but it sounds like you're working here.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm fine with what it came to that about this
announcement. Should we just require them to show up on the November 11th meeting?
I'm sorry, again.
Should we require the respondent to show up for the November meeting, November 11th?
I don't think that you're necessarily asking that we postpone for the sake of your attorney. You want to go and get resolved. I don't think it's capable of being resolved today, do you?
Okay.
No, it's not capable of being resolved today, but
correct.
If you're attempting to reach
yes.
the resolution suggested, then perhaps a progress report in a couple months?
Correct.
Well, we're here today for imposition of a one-time administrative fee of $250 for lack of an occupational license.
And I denied the license, so I would request that you don't do that.
Okay.
But how much of a continuance is needed?
How about a progress report in December, if that works for the board?
Can I inquire?
Sure.
What all needs to be done, but it sounds like something that's going to take some time.
What's the time period for?
This case will go away, and Mr. Jafferty can work diligently toward resolution.
Okay.
So, progress report in a couple months would be good.
So, I guess that's the better question. How long will it take for you to know whether or not you have satisfied yourself adequate to what you your tip to finding the clients?
Correct.
To remove this off the docket and just work with them outside of the jurisdiction of the board?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, is the property being rented at this time?
I was under the impression it was not, but...
Yes, it is.
I don't understand the reason for a delay in securing an occupational license.
I don't either.
Are you the new manager or owner?
I am the new owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you bought this property, rental units?
I bought this. The property was occupied when I purchased it.
They were rental units, or?
They were rental units, correct.
So didn't they have an occupational license prior?
I purchased it directly from the bank.
Oh.
So.
There was one occupant on the property prior to purchasing the property.
So the zoning, I don't know what the zoning issue is. You haven't told us.
Okay. Have a better understanding. And as you know, the whole aspect of these determinations are made really out of looking at the zoning issues and working together with permits and working with code. And those groups working together concluded that at this stage that for them to continue making a decision as relates to occupational license, they first need to handle other matters within the city concerning the property and the violator. And so it would take probably about 2 months for them to have those things resolved. What's the attorney's name?
Huebner.
Mr. Huebner, if he contacting me, I'll talk with him and find out the words to how they're trying to resolve issues that they're trying to resolve that would determine whether or not it's even necessary or what they're going to at this stage. So it's really somewhat in a limbo as to where we want to go from here. So the city is asking for additional time, and if we could have the additional 2 months to come back and take a look at it.
Let's assume that all that's settled and he's allowed to rent. He's going to have an occupational license sooner or later.
Which we can issue.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
So are we asking for this just to be postponed or?
What is most applicable
on that?
Correct.
Yes. I think some of the board members are not understanding why we would not require this particular owner or respondent to have an occupational license, whereas we would require others in a similar situation to obtain an occupational license. I think that's probably where the question is for some members of the board.
Understand, and at this stage, as the city continues to try and work out the whole situation, we don't have those answers. The answers that the city has is that we're asking to board would give us a 2 month continuance on the case.
Colleen, are you asking for the December 2nd cutoff date or January? Or John?
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry,
the question.
The question was,
ask the question again.
Is the city asking that we continue the case until our December 9th meeting or our January 13th meeting?
December
9th,
please.
Okay. Just have a quick question. Apparently, whatever it is, it can't come to our knowledge yet, but conditions are prohibiting him from obtaining an occupational license.
Correct. Currently.
But he has tenants.
Is it necessarily the conditions, or is it the situation of the zoning matter?
Correct.
The zoning matter. So we're going to run, potentially some legal issues, I would imagine. I believe we can amicably work out.
Yeah. It's the responsibility of the city to bring the case in front of us. They obviously say they can't do that today.
Okay.
So the question is, do we want to continue it, or do they want to withdraw it? One or the other.
Yeah, which is what we discussed.
Right.
We just think from a perspective of economy, judicial economy, or you said terminally, your quasi-judicial, we'll just continue it instead of withdrawing and reciting and all those things if we get there at that point in the future.
I have a question. I just noticed a for rent sign. Can we ask that the owner or respondent not rent any additional units until this matter is resolved?
I would be willing to agree to such.
Do we need a motion or some type of action to ask to put that in the record?
We haven't heard the case. So they're asking us to continue the case. They don't want us to make a decision today. So either we continue it or they withdraw it, one or the other.
We'd like to continue to December.
That's it. Really, there's nothing else we can do at this point.
I move that we continue this case to December 9th meeting.
We have a motion by Mr. Harrington. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Marr. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
Well, would it be proper to add to your motion that it's conditioned on not renting any more units until this is resolved?
That would be fine. We'll amend that to that.
That would be my concern.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mr. Harrington, are you amending your motion?
Yes.
Mr. Bourne?
I'll second.
Yeah. Who was on this? Morris.
I'll second the amended
motion. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional questions or comments from my members of the board?
How is that no rental part stated?
The condition is
no further rentals?
No further rentals. Yes. No new tenants.
You know, I'm trying to, because this solves it, so I don't want to go there, but I think at this stage, because we haven't presented a case, I don't know if necessarily you have jurisdiction attached to impose even that order.
They can certainly make a recommendation part of the motion, whether it's effective or not. That's another issue.
All right. It is probably solved.
Yeah, because I haven't heard the case, so I'm not sure there's jurisdiction either. But at this point, it's a moot issue. He's willing to do that. He says he's willing to do that. So I think we're fine.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
I apologize for the confusion.
That's all right.
At the time we have this next meeting, will you perhaps reveal the mysterious circumstances?
That would be more than happy to.
Just to satisfy my curiosity.
if I am able to by the next meeting, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Call me.
20.
Yeah.
Simple.
Never fails.
Case number 20 is CB 1010185, James Therrien, 237 North Halifax Avenue. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Just raise your right hand and be sworn.
I do.
Steve, what can you tell us about it?
This has been an illegal parking during events. I should have had this before you guys long before, because it was opened up in March. But we are here, so Mr. Therrien was in compliance the day after I took this photo, and the city is asking for a will fine for illegal parking during events at his residence.
What was the compliance date, Steve?
Pardon?
What was the compliance date?
It would have been 3/7.
3/7.
You're asking for us to will fine for illegal parking, period, or what?
No.
Have to do with it?
Well, I would specify this to event parking, because if he has a boat or something, it's a completely different issue.
Wouldn't it be to fine him in non-compliance, and because he's now in compliance, just dismiss the case? If he ends up doing it again, you can always bring it back as repeat violation.
Either way.
If we don't do that, then you can't bring it back that way.
That's true. That would be fine.
Could I speak?
Sure. I think we should hear from Mr. Therrien.
Sure.
I think he has the right to be afforded that opportunity.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it illegal to have a party?
To have a who?
A party. I'm sorry, I'm from Massachusetts.
No.
I have a party every bike week, every Saturday night. Every bike week, every year. Those are my friends' cars.
Mr. Therrien, it's not a matter of having a party. The inspector has indicated that you are parking vehicles illegally according to...
What makes it illegal? I'm not accepting money.
No, it's not about the fee. It's,
I believe the rule says,
you
the law says...
I think I might be able to explain.
Okay.
You have to park on improved surfaces, number one. That's part of the city code, and that may be what you're not doing. But the inspector can tell us exactly what he means by you're parking illegally.
You made a comment on the last case. You struck me as a fair man. We have the Greek festival with the Greek church right down the street from my home. When they have their festival, try living there. The inspectors, the city, allows them to park in every no parking zone up and down the streets. I don't see them in the board. I would expect if any action is to come against me, at the next Greek festival, I would expect a citation. And if I have to hire an attorney, my reputation with the city would tell you I will do that, right, to enforce that, because I feel fair. Fair for one is fair for all. They literally have their party. They block, they park right in front of my house on the sidewalk, which is clearly posted, no parking.
If there's a case, Mr. Therrien, you feel
there is
like
no
some, hold on. If there's any, at any time that you feel like there's a violation that's occurring by anyone, commercial or residential, you have the opportunity as a citizen of the city.
I will do
contact
that.
Contact the city and report those violations.
We do, and they're just unheard. They go unheard, sir.
Let them finish before you respond.
Right. But we do that. It just goes unheard because half the city hall is members of the church.
The chair was responding to your question, sir.
Steve,
the chair was
like
responding to your question.
Give us additional information so that Mr. Therrien have a full understanding as to why you have cited him for parking.
No, I really
clarify
don't.
Clarify for him and the board what you mean by he's illegally parked or has vehicles that are illegally parked.
Well, it was during an event, and I mean, there's obviously he's not carrying a sign, but he's standing on the sidewalk, and there's a lot of cars in his on an unimproved lot in his front yard.
You understand that, Mr. Therrien?
Yes, but I just want to know if I could still have my party or not every Saturday night on bike week. And another thing, can somebody explain to me from when I bought the house in 2003 that my taxes were $4,500 and now they're $12,400?
That's outside of the purview of this
board,
Mr.
The little guy, we just get the squash from his. All the big guys can do it, but the little guys, we can't do nothing.
Mr. Alderman, are you saying he's standing outside implying to solicit paid parking for the event? Is that what the purpose of that picture is?
I would assume so, yes. I didn't ask him at the time.
Actually, it looks to me like I'm walking into my yard. We're watching for our guests to get our guests in to have a party. We do it every year.
Mr. Therrien, who do those vehicles belong to?
They're different friends of mine, people that we invited. We're in a bike club. There's over 500 members in the club. And every year we have a bike week party.
Okay.
You're welcome to come. We cook good.
Are you asking for a will fine, Steve?
Yes, sir. I guess to specify it more from the Mr. Sino's request would be more for parking on unimproved services than during the event. Is that the best way to word it?
But my opinion, just under known law, you just changed the wording that was in the citation. I don't know how you can do that. Maybe it would have been in writing.
Notice
I don't mean to give the board a hard time. I mean, we sit there and watch the church, the Greek church, and I'm sure half the members of the board have been to the festival. Where did you park?
Mr. Therrien, at this particular time, we're only dealing with your case. If you have a complaint against the church,
well, we do
you have
complain.
To file that.
We
you
do complain, and the police don't respond to it.
You're not letting me finish, Mr. Therrien. If you feel like there is a violation that is occurring at the church, which is near your property, you need to call that in, and an inspector, I'm sure, will be happy to go out and take a look at it.
But they
if
don't.
There is a violation that exists, I'm sure the inspector would, speak to those that are responsible, and we would try to, in our own way, in a fair manner, try to rectify that situation, as we're trying to do here for you as well.
Actually, it's like a special event when they have.
But at this time, we can only.
But I'm walking into my driveway. Nobody, I don't see no money transferred by it or nothing. I don't see anything like that.
Okay,
so
Mr. Therrien,
I'm being accused of something that.
Mr. Therrien,
I don't see.
On the date that Mr. Alderman cited you, he just, according to what I'm looking at, the notice of violation, if you'd like to take a look at it yourself.
What date was this, sir?
It only says parking.
Okay, what date was this? I know, what date was it?
3-6.
Okay.
2000.
Can you ask him if he was personally the one that cited me and took that picture? Or was that a different man? Because we have pictures on my security camera of a different inspector, actually, that the city hired from Orlando to come and do that. So I'd really like to know, since he's saying he took it, well, was it another guy that took it? Because I believe I have the right to approach the person that actually is accusing me of the violation. Isn't that the understanding of law?
Steve, did you take the picture? Just to satisfy Mr. Therrien's curiosity.
Yes, sir.
Did you take that picture?
Yes, I did. From my
Can
bicycle
you tell
him
what
opposite.
Date you took the picture?
Pardon?
On what date?
Bottom of that screen up there.
3-6.
Wasn't that the gentleman that was hired out of Orlando that was actually over there?
No, I was on my bicycle that day.
Oh, okay.
The inspector has requested that we consider the imposition of a will fine for any repeat violations for parking on unimproved surfaces.
Actually, I would like to amend that while Mr. Theron is here, because Chapter 297A is for no license or permit for parking or running a business. Specifically, that covers anything that makes money that is not licensed or no permit.
Okay.
I don't see no money changing hands. A picture of me walking in my driveway having a party at the home.
I'm concerned about bringing up a very new case today. I think if the city wants to go ahead and come up with a new case, they certainly have the right to do so. But they attack it onto this one today. This is the same case.
Yeah, I don't believe he's bringing a new case.
Okay, so it's just a different.
Yeah, he was amending, but he has. Okay. I guess he's amending because something I missed in transaction of discussion at the beginning of the case. He cited him under 297 code, correct. Is what I've seen,
yes,
here in the record. And that's what he just made reference to. And that section of the code is what's required in a penalty for failure to obtain an occupational license. And you don't have to have a money transaction, either directly or indirectly, to conduct any business or nonprofit enterprise or use in connection therewith any vehicle, any premises, any machine, any board device, in whole or in part, for which a license is required. So his allegation is that this property is being used in such a way that he was conducting business. There's a presumption of liability found in 90-298 that's in the section that says the fact that any person represents himself as being engaged in any business, occupation, profession for which a license is required. And generally, and I didn't read it in full, but generally it's a section that references more people that may advertise that they're doing a business, may do conduct that would suggest that they're doing, whether it's standing out. It is, I believe, my information from the inspector, he can testify further to the observation of seeing this man in the manner which he was and what was happening at the site will be consistent to what he's seen as people who are bringing people in and conducting a parking business. Now, that's a factual determination. If you want more facts from the inspector, I'll ask him to present those, but that would be the nature of what the violation allegation is. And so that's will be consistent with what he filed. And so I guess the question I was, it's a determination that he's now in compliance, which typically the nature of these violations will be one that will be in compliance after the event. And so asking for a will fine so that that conduct isn't done in the future. If it was unclear and uncertain, and he suggests that maybe my conduct looked that way, but I had a real big party, then obviously on a will fine event, we'll be able to get absolute clarification from him what's going on when our inspector goes there. But everything consistent with, and again, and I'll ask the inspector, your observed observations were at that time what concerning what was going on?
It did appear to me that Mr. Theron was trying to attract people to come into his lot, and that was based on the history of prior years. I mean, we have a lot of people in the city that use private lots for parking. But the year prior to this, there were issues with the same thing. So it was my assumption that this year was the same reason the cars were in the front yard.
And we suppose that you show a representative of what you observed then at that time?
Yes.
Which is some standing outside and the cars parked in a manner consistent with organized parking?
Correct. And it was the same
period
last
of time
year
that you observed this?
Well, actually, this is the second time I drove by because I did my routes on Halifax, Main Street, and the earlier, I don't remember the exact time I took this photo, but it was not full the first time, but when I came back, it was.
It's probably we have a party later in the day, every day, every Saturday.
And
as he said, he assumes. I didn't know somebody can assume something and that makes somebody guilty.
I don't have anything further. I don't think...
The city attorney is very familiar with the law. An assumption is not a guilt.
Well, if you look at the pictures, Mr. Therrien, he also stated that there was some factual information which is presented by the inspector.
Factual?
Yes.
Right there by my driveway, waving in my guest? Yes. When my guest, we know that my friend calls me, we have 500 friends that are in this club, and they get lost around Daytona Beach when they're sitting in the traffic, and they call me and say, where are you? And they're asking us to come in.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent currently in compliance.
And you suppose the will call?
Considering an imposition of a will fine for any occurrences that. Can't get it out. For any subsequent occurrences of illegal parking based on the inspector and the city attorney's testimony. Is there such a motion?
Mr. Chair, if I could just, I think there needs to be some clarification of the motion.
Okay.
There needs to be a finding of noncompliance first.
Okay.
And with that finding of noncompliance, then the typical language that we use for will find is that first a finding of noncompliance and then finding that any future violations will result in the consideration of a finding.
May I speak also?
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in previously in noncompliance and now finding the respondent in compliance as of 3-7-2010 and considered an imposition of a will fine for any subsequent occurrences of illegal parking or non-conforming parking.
I so move.
Second. Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all
is there an appeal process to your board?
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Opposed.
Is there an appeal process to this board hearing?
Mr. Therrien, it's found in our city code and in the Florida statutes, chapter 163, okay. I think it's coming, chapter 162.
So from now on, when I call about the church parking, right, will you actually send code and tow those vehicles away, which the sign says you're supposed to do, the law says you're supposed to do? Because I am going to create hell with the church over this. It's a special event. I know, you think it's funny. You try living there and try getting in. Coming home, and you have somebody that came to eat at the church festival literally blocks your driveway, and you can't even drive into your own driveway.
That's
and then we call you, and the city says, well, you don't have a signed license by us to prevent somebody from doing that. And
thanks,
they
Mr.
drive
Therrien.
Away.
I'm sure if you call, if there's a problem with someone blocking your driveway, I'm sure we can take
we
that.
We have called. Check police reports. Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any other respondents who'd like to come forward?
He's beating up a little bit. I'm trying to get these corners to go in here. Got number 12. And we also have number 13.
Case number 12 is CEB 10101177, Stanley J. Kyprios and Irene K. Petusis, trustee, 7 Boardwalk.
Hi.
Hi.
Michael Hanna, owner of the business.
12.
Hanna, H-A-N-N-A. I do Hanna.
Mike Fisher for the city. We have outside activity on 825 with no TPA, so we asked them to put it back in, and we're asking for it to be found non-compliance, then in compliance, and a will fine.
What was your last name again?
Hanna.
Hanna.
H-A-N-N-A.
Mr. Hanna, would you like to say something?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just like, we really apologize for that. I'm just like, we're just struggling like everybody else for the economy. These things bring us like 10% extra. We just fixed the problem. But I was driving around like 10 days ago, 15 days ago. There is some stores, they have some stuff outside. I realize it's not my business to say anything about those stores. It's his job. And then, you know, I drove around and I took some pictures. And then they have some stuff outside, and I guess nobody till now told them to take him in.
Mr. Hanna, what is your relationship to the owners?
the relationship. There is no relationship, but I'm the person renting the place from her.
Gotcha.
So,
so you're a tenant, Ms. Tannen?
Yes.
Mr. Jackson, if we find, well, he's actually in he's in compliance now, but would this prevent him from engaging in any future activities for special events?
Except
I think we've had similar
cases.
Except for special events, okay. We have something similar. Similar case.
I'm not sure if you answered the right question.
Well, if he pulls a TPA during events and it's allowed, of course he can have the outside things.
Yeah, even with a will fine?
And it wouldn't involve the will fine because he's got a
TPA. No, I mean, well, I guess he's in compliance now.
He is.
There have been other cases whereby if we found a particular party or respondent in non-compliance, it prevented them from engaging in activities that during special events.
It's part of the master plan, and that can come into play if they choose. I mean, he'll apply for a TPA, and if he's granted one, then he can go ahead and do it.
I have one
right?
today, actually.
Yeah, he has
yeah,
one
I
today.
I have one today.
Yeah.
I just started today, yeah.
You
this
would
require
I mean.
Them to, yeah.
This business usually isn't part of the master plan.
Oh, I see.
That's the little question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So basically, he's not engaging in the activity for 250 days. Okay.
Thank you, folks.
Do we all also need to find this particular respondent in non-compliance before we consider the
decision? Yeah, that's the standard.
We'll find.
Finding non-compliance if they're now in compliance.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and consider an imposition of a will fine, so a will fine for any subsequent occurrences. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Hanna, what we've done is we have stated that if you commit this type of violation again, we can impose a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence, which means every time that you do this and the inspector notices it, we can impose a fine up to $5,000 each time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
And if you have any questions, you can speak to Mr. Fitzgerald.
Thank you.
13. Yes. Case number 13 is CEB 1010178. Pardon me for screwing up your last name if I do. Charles Gobera?
That's my landlord.
Okay. 1026 Main Street.
He owns the building.
Okay.
My name is Raed Hyatt. R-A-E-D. Last name is H-A-Y-Y-A-T. Yes, I do.
And the last name is Hyatt?
Hyatt.
What is your relationship, Mr. Hyatt, to the owner or the property?
He's my landlord.
Okay. Michael, what can you tell us?
On numerous occasions over the year, I've cited them for outside activities, putting the things on the door. And we've closed the cases, put them in compliance. They're in compliance now. And they weren't again, so we're asking for a will fine so that we can stop this.
Mr. Hyde, do you have anything you
want
to say?
Well, they fined me a couple of $100 a couple months back for having activity outside, which is all over the door. As you see right now, there's nothing outside. There's only two mannequins on the door, which is my employees usually open up in the morning and they put them there. And I just enforced for my employees not to put anything on the door. So if you see, there's really nothing outside the door. Everything inside besides two mannequins hanging on the door with the brown and the blue shirt. And that's about it. That's the only thing is outside. And I enforced for rules for my employees. I forgot to bring a copy for you, but it's on there on the counter. And this will never happen again.
Is that the violation, Michael?
Pardon me?
Is that the nature of the violation?
Yeah, you'll have, you know, one, two, three, four, five things hanging on the one side door and a couple of things hanging on the other. Just, you know, these are calls from the area that no one else can do that, and so it needs to be addressed.
I want to also state, as Michael said, there's so many shops out there that they have so many stuff outside. Every day I see them, and nothing is taking action against them, only us. But I did get fined over this before, and we don't do it anymore. It's just by mistake. We have a couple mannequins outside. My employees does it, but we put them inside now, and there's nothing outside anymore. Besides today till Sunday, I have a TPA.
And that also includes having anything on the doors, Mr. Hyatt.
Yeah. With the picture, you see, like, there's a lot of things outside, but there's only two mannequins on the door. Everything else that's inside my store and my property in there, it's not outside. It just looks like it's outside. Only the mannequins on the side, on my right.
Okay. All right. My understanding, he is part of Main Street, and this will affect him in the future.
But we're not asking for you to do, I mean, to my knowledge, is there any request for anything different to be done? He's indicating that he's been previously cited on this.
Yes, I went to court and I paid a fine for this.
With me?
I mean,
yes.
If
you gave me yourself. You gave me two tickets.
Okay.
The case was just dismissed. Would that affect if we just dismissed his compliance? If we dismiss the case, would that affect the future?
If he's in non-compliance, it will affect him in the future.
So, but I'm saying we just dismissed the case, it wouldn't affect him.
Yeah, I don't know if we're at, just so we're clear, and if there's someone else, staff that will speak otherwise, but I don't know that staff is asking for the board to make a decision concerning whether or not he's going to be affected by this.
Right.
Ultimately, this if he is a part of the master plan, it's something that's considered by the master plan committee and then ultimately to the commission in terms of whether or not they will indeed hold this against him. But obviously, y'all can, you know, take whatever action and have that kind of consideration, but whether or not it's being balanced fairly across the board with all businesses coming in, we don't have that answer. So it's not going to be the position of the city to be selective unless someone tells me there's something that can work out otherwise with this gentleman.
Well, I mean, I've gotten other businesses have given me an affidavit stating that they've changed their policy and that they won't be doing that in the future. And, yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give, of course. We're willing to help. Yeah, excuse me, ma'am.
Tony, do we need to
take one more on it?
Sure. Do we need to add Mr. The tenant, the respondent to the case as well?
The right now was deciding the landowner. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I guess that would be appropriate. I don't know what we've been doing. It's really something I have to talk to you about.
Okay.
Yeah, we're willing to take the gentleman's word, and as if he makes a statement under oath that he's changed his policy, that he won't be putting things on the outside any longer, and if you do, then we'll be coming back here for the will fine, and that
it will
can affect your ability to work.
It will not happen again.
Okay, so a suggestion that was raised by Mr. Seals, why don't you want to consider it?
Absolutely.
Mr. Fitzgerald, question. When you notice something like this, you go to the
owner.
Yes. Go to the owner of the store, and you say you can't do that.
Correct.
And he takes it down. Do you have to bring this then? I mean, isn't that your decision?
No, this is the fourth time or the third time.
Oh, this is the fourth or fifth time.
Third time.
I wish you had mentioned that. It makes a big difference in my
thing. It did. That's why I brought him here. The ones that I've had to contact more than once, I'll bring him in for a will fine.
Sort of. This is my first time.
No, I know. That is
this
not
a separate case. I was actually with him during another time. Another
yeah, and...
So that makes a difference.
I was at your store, but I couldn't...
Michael, yeah, just deal with this one. What is the city's position with the information that you currently have from your supervisor?
Well, we'll accept the gentleman's response that he changed his policy.
Are you withdrawing your request for a will fine?
And I will withdraw the request for the will fine.
Okay. I think we're done.
So you found the non-compliance and you don't want the case?
You just missed the case.
Non-compliance.
I'm saying if you find him in non-compliance, then he's going to be affected. If you just dismiss the case, it goes away.
Right. Whatever normally happens. It's not an anomaly dismissal. He's in non-compliance, the case is over.
Right.
I mean, he's
in compliance.
Compliance, right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Compliance thank on you. What date? So we can have that
3/7.
Right? Today? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Today?
I don't think that exhausts our.
So today is the compliance date?
10/14.
It was today? 10/14. Okay. Contact that attorney for this case, number 3.
Not disposed of case number 2.
Oh, yeah. Number 2, we still have...
3.
Number 3. Yeah.
That's correct. Oh.
We're moving on to 3?
Yes.
Okay. Case number 3 is CEB 0810144, Midred Flyer Incorporated, 612 East International Speedway Boulevard.
We're asking for a fine of $250 a day.
And just so we get
okay.
A little bit of a
right.
Door since we took that break. My understanding from the inspector is that he did talk with the attorney,
yes.
Mr. O'Connell.
Mr. O'Connell.
O'Connell.
Yeah.
Harry. McConnell. McConnell. Mr. McConnell. Based upon that conversation, this is, I think apparently there's some aspect of needing the court to authorize or allow the action of the demolition and the imposition of the fine with let the court see his desperate state as the trustee of a property.
And
so he's found within the position of a fine with the anticipation that he'll probably come back and seek a lien review after the after this is all resolved.
Do you have a cap for that, Michael?
Sorry?
Do you have a cap for consideration?
Yeah, $20,000 cap.
Chair would entertain a motion proposing a fine effective today?
Yes, sir.
Imposing a fine of $250 per day, effective October 14, 2010, with a cap of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Is there any question or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Did we dispose of case number 2?
Yes.
Okay. That was the heating.
Okay.
Right.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That was mine.
$30 per
day. Yeah, it was 30.
Case number 4 is CEB 0810153, Clint Gowell, 321 South Seneca Boulevard.
This is one of Rob's places that I took over. It's in compliance 10-8. Okay. It's been repainted.
Case number 5 is CEB 0910157, LGF Assets 2008 LLC, 1660 East Shangri-La Drive.
This is in non-compliance and impose a $50 day fine with a cap of $15,000.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance and imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective October 14, 2010, with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Is there any question or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number six is CEB 0910159, Adrian Maurice and Jackie Duncan, 500 South Caroline Street.
This is another case I've taken over Rob for Mr. Kish, and it's a impose a fine for $20 a day. They're in non-compliance.
25 a day?
With, yes, 25 with a cap of 15,000 also.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $25 per day with a cap of $25,000 effective October 14, 2010. Is there such a motion?
15,000.
How much?
15,000.
15,000?
Yeah, 15.
Okay, with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Who was the second? Mr. Smart. We have a motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number seven is CEB 0910162, Benjamin Babazada Khorasani, 1808 North Atlantic Avenue.
He will not be here.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
We are here for the imposition of a fine. I have had no contact either with April from Caldwell Banker, who was his girlfriend who was managing the property to get this repaired. So the city's asking for a $50 a day per fine per day. Single family under 500,000, so max 15,000.
How much was that per day, Steve?
50, please.
$50 per day. Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day with a cap of $15,000 effective October 14, 2010. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number eight is CEB 0910164, Clifford Morris, 242 Williams Avenue. No occupational license.
I have had no contact with this gentleman. It's been a long time. I've had verbal contact with his tenants back when we had a recycling business behind the house. They took care of that. The tenants did. I posted the house at that time with this notification. Mr. Morris has not contacted me, so we will be asking for the 250 one time, and it's still rented, and there's still no application for a occupational license.
Chair would entertain a motion previously finding the respondent in noncompliance and imposing a one-time $250 administrative fee for no occupational license. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number nine is CEB 0910170, Sharon and Shoshana Ofer, 536 Sandra Avenue.
Compliance, 10-12.
Case is in compliance, effective 10-12-2010. We've disposed of case number 10. Case number 11 is CEB 0910175, Earl A. Buss and Darlene F. Buss, 168 Pierce Avenue. It's actually here for a progress report.
The progress is the owner left me a message on 10-11-10. She stated that they were out of money. They're putting the property up for a short sale. Nothing else has been done on the property, and she claims that they're going to be moving out as of today. She gave the tenant on the lower level of the second structure. She gave them verbal notice to be out by November, so ultimately there's been no progress other than the property's been painted.
Okay. Okay, thanks, John. We've disposed of case number 12 and 13. Case number 14, CEB 1010179, has been withdrawn. Case number 15, CEB 1010180, is in compliance as of September 1st, 2010. Case number 16, CEB 1010181, has also been withdrawn. Case number 17, CEB 1010182, Terry S. Natlow, 1236 Peachtree Road.
It's non-compliance, next cutoff. I'm in
communication with the owner, and he said that he should have it done this weekend. He should have it taken care of, the fence. Okay.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until November 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Oh. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 18, CEB 1010183, Harlan F. Gustafson, Revocable Trust, Living Trust, dated 6-28-07. Property address is 913 North Grandview Avenue. What was that, Steve?
913. Did you say 918?
For the address, yes, 913 North
okay.
Grandview Avenue.
Okay.
No. Noncompliance?
Noncompliance.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until November 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Borens, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We have disposed of case number 19, case number 20, and case number 21. Is there any miscellaneous business that any member of the board would like to bring up, or any member of city staff? Mr. Jackson.
Yes, this information. Rob Kish retired. Sergeant Bailey retired. So acting supervisors, the deputy chief right now is the acting overall, but and these guys sort of in between, and they have the position posted for a new code supervisor.
So Kish retired?
Yeah, Kish retired.
And Baylor.
And Bailey. So if you have his number or his email and you don't want to call him and say, hey, come out 2 in the morning, something's going on, because they're not coming. I had a question, and it's staff as well, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but as far as pronouncement of the cap, I guess it's probably better for staff to pronounce the cap. I was looking at it, and I thought, well, maybe they didn't need to, since the ordinance says that it maxes out at a certain amount, and unless they wanted something less than the max, it wasn't really necessary to pronounce it. But because it have all those separate categories, I guess it would help save some confusion in the future if we make sure we pronounce it. So I'll make a suggestion on the next code meeting that we just be reminded that we'll pronounce the maximum, the cap on these fines, so that at least we have it in the order for future reference.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I don't have anything else.
How long does the amnesty go? I've forgotten.
March 1st.
Yeah, and just information, a little bit of feedback, if Amy has some. One of the things we saw immediately were the cleanups. We've had the first thing we had a lot come in were people who said, hey, wait a second, I don't have that on there. And as we searched stuff for the last 12, 15, some of them 18 years, been on the books that could somewhere there was an error, somewhere there may have been a cleanup, you know, something that was resolved that we just never knew about. Sometimes we may have even recorded it in there. So there were a lot of things that we've cleaned up on the front end. It's been a lot of work for Amy, and she's been tirelessly going through it and even getting beat up sometimes verbally on the phone over it. But it's happening.
Yeah, I've heard of some very amusing incidents. A friend of mine lives on the beachside. Got a notice that he owed $254,000 on a fine that was issued 17 years ago to an owner, a different owner, and sort of upset him when he got this notice. And of course, certain steps had not been taken properly.
Yeah, and the city. We put together a letter to explain that and apologize. We really, you know, we're thankful that we have the program and that we're doing this. I mean, it's obviously something that's well beyond its time. We needed to do it a long time ago, and so getting these things cleaned up is a real, real joy.
Yeah, a lot of work, because on that particular one, the city signed off on the lien in the first place and never recorded it.
Yeah, we feel good that most of these things happen before our time.
Yes.
But nevertheless, they're there, and the people are upset about them, and it's understandable.
Tony, I have a question, not as chairman, but as a citizen. One of my properties that I'm selling, it's actually under contract. We constructed a house, a home, 2 years ago, and we were notified recently, after we all did our due diligence on the property, that there is a lien of about $3,200, and it's going to cloud the title now that we're trying to sell it. I bought the property at a tax deed sale, and the county made a payment to the city for other liens that existed, which I was aware of, but now this one comes up all of a sudden. Who do I need to talk to about that? Barbara's name was mentioned, but I haven't talked to her as of yet.
Is it a code lien, or is it a
they don't know. The city can't even tell us what the lien, the basis for the lien is. Yes, city of Daytona Beach.
Larry, always the final stop is back to Amy, and between Amy and I, we kind of wrestle through them and figure things out. So as Larry Stevens, the citizen, or Larry Stevens, the board chair, either one.
Larry citizen.
Regardless what you are, we'll look at it and see in the same capacity.
Yes.
She may have some information that she can...
We're trying to close on it, and as I said, had the lien been posted, it could have been taken care of, but it was not when the county made its payments to the city.
Okay. Well, at this stage, I'll take it as information, and we'll talk about it as with Larry, the citizen.
After the adjournment.
After the adjournment.
Yes. Okay. Are there any other comments, questions, or concerns by members of the board or city staff?
Just so we don't have any more cases like the long one we had with John, is it possible for those to be pulled before they get... In the future, if it
had been discussed, we probably would have just gone in and pulled it out. I was just as easy to say pull it as to. It's a $250 fine if it was type case going forward. So I mean, what's the difference for you guys? I mean, economy, having to mail it all out again, and all of that is the only issue. There's some things that have to be resolved internally, and we'll resolve those, and then we'll do whatever we need to do.
These illegal parking things, how are we handling them? In special events, as a code enforcement, as zoning, everybody's doing it as said, and they've been doing it during the Wings Festival. They were parked everywhere except at the golf course.
Well, I mean, understand, even when it's a zoning issue, it's still going to be ultimately a code enforcement. In regards of code enforcement, wants to go out there with zoning and make the siting in. So yeah, they're out inspecting and they're doing what they they can do.
What's it
isn't a proof beyond a reasonable doubt standard. But
what's the difference between a parking ticket and these kinds of things where they're selling their spaces? That's zoning. Parking ticket is the parking enforcement authority?
Yes.
It was a mess during Wings. Depending on whether you were the one looking for a parking space, it was your house they were parked in front of. Because we've got to address that issue sooner or later, and this board isn't going to do it. They've got to build some parking lots or something.
I think in your case, Neil, because of I know where you live, I think maybe that was something that should have been handled possibly by the homeowner association to prevent people that are coming to see the air show from entering your property, your community.
You'd have to hire security, probably.
Yeah. But that, again, would be something that should have been taken up by the considered by the homeowner association or the condo association. That would be my suggestion. Are we adjourned? Are there any other comments or questions by city staff?
I'd like to make one comment. Mr. Thurian seemingly can do a sweet attack. I want to thank the officer over here for grabbing him by the arm and sort of escorting him out.
I was very thankful as well. Historically, there was a point, I don't know if it's still on record, but Mr. Therrien was banned from City Hall, and his only our right to be here was for conducting specific business because he had a tendency to lose his cool on regular occasions when he's here at the commission or anywhere in City Hall. And he's been very... He speaks very aggressively, and quite honestly, I didn't want to bring it up, you know, that he spoke very aggressively, even concerning with our staff, with Amy, and concerning matters that just left me bothered. He's just difficult. He has been for a very long time.
Very difficult.
So did you make him that way, Mr.
Senior? No. 20 years ago.
Do you all have anything? Okay. Are there any additional comments, questions by members of the board? We adjourn.